How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Give somebody a high five, fist bump, three or four people around you, have a seat. So glad you're here today. Listen, let me just kind of reiterate something that Katie and Callie just said. If you have a child that is fourth through sixth grade, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you with everything that I am to get them to try Splosion. We've done it the last 2 years, and it's amazing how the kids come home changed. God does some incredible stuff in their lives, and I absolutely love it. Listen, they're going to be saturated with Jesus for 3 or 4 days, and they're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast, and I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to go and get your kids signed up. All right? You can go to desperationchurch.tv/trisplosion, or you can just go to Desperation Church and you'll find it. And if you don't have a computer, you need to get in touch with the 21st century first off. And then the second thing, you could just go to the info bar, all right? I just made fun of somebody that don't have a computer here, and I probably shouldn't do that. Listen, if you really want to know more, you can go to the info bar, and they give you all the stuff that you need, okay? Hey, listen, we have been doing a series on the life of David, and I'm hoping that you've enjoyed it. I'm hoping that it's something that's connected with you, learned from his life, that's challenged you, moved you. And I'm hoping that we continue that today. All right? The name of our series is called Caves and Kingdoms. And I've really enjoyed it. I really enjoy doing character studies of different people in the Bible. And I really love the character study of David, because David's he's easy to learn from. All right? If there's anybody that's in this world outside of Jesus that you want to be like, he would be one of those people. All right? And so I'm hoping and praying that you've learned a lot of different things. Today, I want to talk to you about confident in the conflict. I want to talk to you about confidence in the conflict. Now, the last 3 weeks, we've talked about how David was rejected by those closest to him, but not rejected by God. And we talked about 1 Samuel chapter 16, where it says that basically God looks at the inside, man looks at the outside. And so we see that God anointed David for greatness. The second week, we talked about how David was anointed, but wasn't yet appointed, and how he served the one that was sitting in the throne that he would one day take, and the importance of that. Last week, we talked about a critical spirit, and I'm hoping and praying that God revealed some things to you. It's amazing how many people came up to me after the service and was like, hey, have you been watching me? You've been at my house? By the way, I hear that about every sermon. I don't know how that happens. By the way, there's people in this room that have told me before, like, when you're preaching, you're looking straight at me. Like, are you trying to talk to me? Like, no, that would be the Holy Spirit, because I really can't see hardly any of you because the lights are blinding me right here. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, that wouldn't be me. That'd be the Holy Spirit. He's just doing it in a redneck accent, all right? So it's just God, all right? So just let him speak to you, because he's just wanting to make you better, make you more like himself, and it's a good thing when God speaks to you, okay? And so so we're going to talk to you today about the blessing of seeing all these scenarios that we just got through talking about played out in what I believe is the most famous battle that David ever fought. And one of, if not the most talked about battle in all of history. And we're going to talk about David and Goliath. And I feel like we've preached several sermons on David and Goliath. There's a great possibility you've heard several sermons on David and Goliath. Hopefully, it'll be just a little bit different for you today, challenge you. I think we could probably preach a whole series just on that one story, just in different ways, okay? Because there's so much to learn from David and Goliath. And so usually the main theme around the battle of David and Goliath is faith, all right? And so this is absolutely true. But what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about the word that puts faith on its platform, all right? We want to talk about the word confidence. Now, I need everybody to look at your neighbor and say, be confident today. Come on. Okay, that was weaker than pond water. You don't sound very confident saying confident, all right? It's all good. Hopefully you will before the day's over with, all right? Now listen, what we're going to do is we're going to literally walk you through the battle of David versus Goliath and show you how we can apply confident faith through Jesus in our lives today. And, you know, I really believe that a lot of times most of us are struggling in our faith, which is common. That's natural. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But there's a place where for us to really see God-sized things happen, faith is the main ingredient for it to happen. All right? You got to have faith to see God do great things. And so let's talk about being confident and walking in faith so that God can use us, and so we can see things that are larger than us. Let's see what 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 20, this is what it said. So David left the sheep with another shepherd. So you remember David was a shepherd. He left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts. Remember we talked about basically David got some cheese biscuits and took it to the brothers on the front line, all right? And so as Jesus had directed him, as Jesse had directed him, he arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. So here is David rolling up. He's rolling up on the front lines of the battle, and he sees that the Israelite army is leaving and they're going out to the battlefield, and they are shouting, they are looking bad to the bone, they are looking tough, shouting with battle cries like, "We coming to get you, Philistines." Says, soon the Israelites and Philistine forces stood facing each other. So get a picture of this. Philistines, Israelites, staring each other in the face, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of his supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. He's like, ha, 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 woo, we about to see a fight today. I got to go see this. You know, like when you was in high school and there used to be a fight, especially girls fighting, there was everybody like clear the halls, like, we got to watch it, you know. So shouldn't talk about that at church, but you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. So David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they lost all confidence. They all talking big, like screaming, like, going to kill you. Like, and then all of a sudden, old big boy comes out. What happens? They begin to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men ask. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife. Please not the ugly one. And the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." Well, that's nice. No more taxes. And the king's daughter, all right? So we see that whoever defeats Goliath will receive lots of things from the king. So we're going to just kind of pause right there. And we see that they begin to run away. They come out and talk bad. They big and bad. And they leave in confidence. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things in my life that I struggle with confidence in. There's a lot of things in my life that I'm halfway confident. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure everybody here, some way, form, or fashion, struggles with some kind of confidence in your life, in whatever that may be. But, you know, one of the things that most speakers, communicators, preachers, if they were really honest, most of them would tell you, like, "Hey, I'll be honest with you, but every time before I walk out on stage, I'm about to blow groceries." All right? Like, I mean, like, it is hard to get in front of people and just talk, especially when they look like they've been drinking buttermilk, all right? Like sour milk. Like, "Come on, bring it. You better bring it today. If not, I'm going to give you a 1 to a 10. And your time is about, if you get to a 5, you're pretty good with me, all right? Now, you look like, a lot of times, that's why it's so good if you're smiling and clapping and giving me some feedback besides, like, "You're dumb," whatever. Give me good feedback because it builds my confidence. Everybody needs confidence built. Well, anyway, so it's not easy as a speaker, as a pastor, to come out and speak to people. But, you know, it's really, really, really hard to speak at, like, camps. I speak at a lot of youth camps, and I went to one in California at the beginning of June. I went and spoke at a camp for a few churches in Las Vegas, which was kind of weird, kind of cool. But we drove over to California, and I spoke at a camp there. And there was The worst thing at a camp that I've learned, I did student ministry for 6 years, is to have a service first thing in the morning, all right? Because there ain't a kid in there. You want to talk about your confidence gone. Your confidence is gone because every kid in there is asleep, a lot like a lot of you guys in here in Sunday mornings, all right? Now listen, every one of those kids just about asleep, and so you're over here trying to preach your guts out, and they're just like, like, just hoping that God in their sleep will speak to them some way, form, or fashion. And so, there was this one particular morning in California. I told this story in Jasper the other day. But there was this one particular morning that I'm preaching. I'm getting towards the end of my message. It's all junior high kids, which, by the way, speaking of junior high kids is difficult anyway. Number one, it smells like BO the whole entire time you're in there. It smells really, really bad. Number two, the majority of them are asleep. And number three, ain't none of them listening to you. They all need Adderall. And so, I'm speaking, And there was a kid, like I'm down on the floor. There's a kid sitting where Ricky's sitting right here on the second seat in the chair. And he is out like a light. I'm talking about like he's catching flies in his mouth, mouth wide open, just laying there. And like, you know, I just keep on going. Now, every now and then I'll mess with him and it's kind of fun with the kids and stuff. But anyway, I just kept going today. So I got to this part where I'm just like preaching. I'm just like getting after it, spitting, just fired up, like, wow. And all of a sudden, in the middle of my message, this kid jumps straight up and goes, "Aah!" And I'm like, oh gosh, I didn't know what to do. It scared me to death. I thought it was a demon and I rebuked him in Jesus' name right there on the spot. You think I'm kidding? I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And the kid's like that and like freaked him out. Like, what happened? You know, the kid had a dream that he was falling off a cliff and sat straight up. I really thought the kid had a demon. Like, if you had any demons, they're gone now, baby. I mean, I thought he was attacking me or something. Or like, it freaked me out. Like, I didn't know what to do. That's the first thing I said. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So anyway, sleep spirit. You know, talking about losing confidence is easy. I don't know if that has anything to do with the message. I just want to tell the story. The big thing is there's nothing worse than not having confidence. But God wants to be the confidence for you. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel. Let's move on. 1 Samuel 17, 25 through 27. We see the same Israelite army that ran. Look what happens. It says, now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? So they're speaking negative. They're saying negative things. He comes out to defy Israel. By the way, there's nothing worse that increases your confidence, that increases your lack of confidence by speaking against the confidence that you have. I don't know if that makes any sense. We'll come back to that another time. Your words are powerful even when you speak them in your own life. So listen, the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him, which is a daughter and no taxes. Says he will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Uh-oh, we see somebody got some confidence in the house. They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Listen, oftentimes when we read this story, we only notice David, Saul, and Goliath. But the truth is, there's an entire army. I don't know if we seem like we always talk about David and Goliath. We talk about Saul, but we forget about the army. There's an entire army that found their confidence in the crowd rather than putting their faith in God. Now, this is the children of Israel. These are the people of Israel who had heard the stories, who had heard all the things about the God that has rescued them many more times before. Big circumstances just like this. Over and over and over, but apparently they had forgot about their God. And so they begin to follow the crowd. There wasn't one person that was willing to step outside the crowd and stand up and say, I'll fight Goliath because I trust in God. But David, old shepherd boy, don't even want to wear any armor, just wants to step out. You know, it's amazing how often things happen in our life and how many times God has rescued us, how many times God has done miracles in our life, how many times we've heard about the miracles that God has done in other people's lives. But it's amazing whenever something happens how easy it is to follow the crowd and forget about who God is. And forget about the God of the Bible. Forget about the one that wants to rescue. It's so easy to do that. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. And so, what we see is that the army is big talkers, but they ran. You know, it's amazing how often and how easy it is for us to be big talkers about God. We could talk about, let's just bless God. Hey, I'll be praying for you. Hey, let's just pray. We big talkers, but boy, when a giant comes, it's amazing how we start trying to fix things in and of ourselves. We try to start doing things in and of ourselves to fix it besides just to relax and rely on God. I know it's a lot easier said than done, but there is a place where a lot of times in the middle of giants in our life, we really, a lot of times in our life, forget about God, or he's just our go-to. So, I guess the question of the day is where do you fall? Are you more like David, or are you more like the army or the crowd? The crowd wasn't confident enough to step out, but David was. You know what giants do? Giants paralyze us. They paralyze us with fear. They freak us out. And the enemy wants to use that against you to keep you from walking by faith. You know, fear is always, y'all have heard me say this before, fear is always the enemy of faith. And the enemy of faith is always going to be fear. And I this, hope this isn't completely wrong the way I say this, but you really can't have faith without fear. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to overcome my fear because God is bigger than my fear. And I'm going to walk by faith and trust him. So when you have fear in your life, whether it be a bad report from the doctor, whether it be losing a job, whether it be finances, whatever your giant is. So what's the first thing that pops his head up? Fear. So now we got an opportunity to put our confidence in the one that trumps fear. I didn't say triumphs fear, not Trump like the president. Triumphs fear. It overrides fear. Faith does. And so it gives you an opportunity to trust God. What greater ingredient to see miracles, to see a movement of God, to have God's stories than to allow fear to crop its head up and then trust God in the middle of it? It's amazing the stories I've heard from a lot of you guys in this room right here about when things were supposed to go the wrong way, you trusted God, and now you've came and told me and several other people how God came in the middle of it. But it's also amazing how you've told me those stories 5 years ago, but now you're in something new, and now you've done forgot about that story 5 years ago, but he's still the same God then as he is today. And he still wants to do things in your life. So the enemy wants to paralyze you. And if he could get you so focused on your giant. See, the army was focused on their giant. They wasn't focused on the one that was larger than their giant. If you get focused on your giant, you get paralyzed with fear. So what does fear do? It keeps you from walking in peace. But what does God want to do? I'd say Philippians chapter 4. He wants to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding that the world don't understand. Why? Because you've placed your trust in him. Which, by the way, once again, I'm not making excuses for you. It's a lot easier for Andy to stand up here and say these things than it is for a lot of us to walk in. I live in a real world. But can I tell you something? It's something that you're going to struggle with the rest of your life. But the more you struggle with it and the more you walk in it, the stronger you become as a believer. The stronger you become as a follower of Christ. God makes you strong. Listen, if I went around and worked out with cotton balls all the time, which, by the way, it looks that way anyway because I'm kind of flabby down here, you're not going to get very strong. But if I struggle with weight, which, by the way, it's a lot of struggle. The bar is a struggle for me, all right? Listen, if I struggle with weight, it makes me strong. If you're not struggling with weight when you go work out, then you're not going to get very strong. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of you are like, Andy, you really need to go struggle with some weight because every time you wave four times. Your arm waves in three different places, here, here, and here, and here. It's waving everywhere, all right? It's not good. But when you struggle, it makes you stronger. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 5. It talks about it in James chapter 3. It talks about it in Colossians chapter 3. It talks about it all through the scriptures. But the struggle is real. And when I place my confidence in God, the one who is larger than my struggle, he will begin to make me stronger in him. You'll never, it's a lot easier for me to say than a lot of you to hear. You'll never understand the beauty of God not unless you struggle. You'll never understand his greatness and who he is unless you struggle. That's why I think there's struggles that hit our life so that we can learn how to grow and trust him. If everything is always pure bliss and hunky-dory and man living in heaven, then we'll never discover the beauty of who God is. I know that sounds so backwards to some of you. And I don't mean to dampen your spirits for so, you know, because like everybody wants it pure bliss, but we live in a fallen world. This world is cursed, but God is larger than this cursed world. You hear me? All right, come on. I'm glad some of y'all fired up. Listen, y'all listen to my stories like, man, I feel sorry for him being scared to come out there and not having confidence. I'm going to help him out today. I'm going to clap and give him a smile. And thank you for the four of you that's doing it. Thank you for understanding. Listen, so there was somebody that was different. He was a little shepherd boy from Bethlehem who was simply bringing his brothers some cheese. And what I want to talk to you about today is David not only had faith in his God, but he had confidence to conquer giants. His confidence didn't come in and of himself. His confidence came through his God. So the first thing I would say is to have confidence and conquer your giant. You got to eliminate your Eliabs. You know, we've talked about Eliab every single week. Eliab was one of David's brothers. And I always think that Eliab was already jealous of David because he didn't get crowned king. Listen to what it says. It said, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, he downgraded him. Like your little old, few little old sheep down here. Man, we out here fighting battles and you got little sheeps over there. Sheeps is not a word. Sheep. All the grammar people, leave me alone. Listen, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch. Do you see his brother? Well, who's the one that's really conceited? And who's the one that's wicked? It's probably Eliab. He's full of envy and jealousy, and so he wants to bring his brother down with him. There's always, listen, when God's doing great things with you, there's always going to be people find things wrong with you, and they're going to call you every name in the book. Why? Because they want to lower you down to their level. That's what happened here. It says, now what have I done? What have I done? What are you talking about? I'm just coming out here to give you some cheese biscuits. I'm just doing what Daddy told me to do. Why are you killing me? He says, can I even speak? Listen to what he said. Look at this. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. That's huge. Y'all remember this. We're going to come back to this. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant, the shepherd boy, will go and fight this giant. I'll go fight him. David comes down to the battle lines to serve his brothers, and he hears a voice mocking the God that he had spent so much time with out in the fields. He heard the Philistine giants mocking his God that he saw rescue his sheep from a bear and a lion. Saw a giant coming out mocking his God that he worshiped alone every single day. He saw a giant mocking the God he valued. And David ain't gonna play like that. Like, I don't like that. You ain't messing with my God. So, we see that once he starts speaking with the army about what is happening, his older brother, who was looked over by Samuel, which reveals that he was probably jealous, offers him his jealous criticism. But notice what the scripture says. He turned away to someone else. In other words, talk to the hand because the ear ain't listening. In other words, he like, I ain't listening to you. I ain't talking to you. You gonna come at me with that kind of stuff? I ain't got time for you. We got a giant to fight. I ain't got time to listen to these voices. You ain't gonna speak death into me. You're not gonna be critical in my life. I know my God. My God is bigger. So don't be speaking negative into me. Last week we talked about exposing the critic in your life and even in yourself. But what we should know is that the Eliabs in our life should not get our attention. The Eliabs in our life should not get our attention. The critics, those who are often opinionated, the negative, those who speak death. And I hope you're not an Eliab in other people's lives. I hope you're a Jesus. I hope you speak life into people. I guess the question of the day is for you to think through is, who are the voices in your life? Who are the voices in your life? Do you listen? Do you have wrong voices that surround you? Or do you have godly voices that surround you? Serious. So everybody at some point will have giants in their life. Everybody in this room will have giants. All of us will have giants some way, form, or fashion. So who are you surrounding yourself with? What is the army you surround yourself with? Is it the Eliabs who speak death? Or do you surround yourself with wise people who understand the greatness of who God is that speaks life into you? If you're struggling with your marriage, do you surround yourself with people who have had a jillion different failed relationships? I'm not just talking about marriage, I'm just talking about relationships. I mean, you got a kid that's a prodigal in your life. Who are you getting information from? Who you gleaning wisdom from? Somebody else that's got a kid in prison right now? Which, by the way, if you do, I'm not trying to kill it. I'm just saying. Like, who are you gleaning wisdom from? Which, by the way, they may be somebody that's good if they've given their life to Christ. You might can listen to them and learn something from them. I don't know. What I'm saying is, it's amazing how often we have issues in our life and we go and listen to the wrong voices. We'll go to work and we'll sit around with people that don't know anything about Jesus, and they start filling our ears and our hearts full of things that are false, that are deceptive, that are not true. Who are the voices in your life? You need, if you got issues in your life, the last place you need to be is listening to somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God. Because God is the answer to all. He is the key. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer. And so when you have issues in your life, when you have things going on, when you have giants, and all of us will have giants, you listen to the voices that will point you back to Jesus. And can I be honest with you? A lot of times, those voices, they hurt. The ones that point you back to Jesus, it hurts. Because you know they're right, but you really want to hold on to your unforgiveness and your bitterness and you're ticked off. And honestly, what can really happen if somebody really loves you and gives you Jesus, like counseling, Jesus correction, there's a lot of times that you can get really ticked off at that person because they're not telling you what you want to hear. I would get somebody around me that loves me enough that I always tell me what I need to hear. Why? Because it's not healthy. Jesus don't always tell me what I want to hear, but I still love him and it's healthy. Put people around you who speak true voices, truth. Don't put negative people in your life. Listen, you're here today. That's a great possibility. There are people here today who have recently given their life to Christ and you're moving forward with Jesus. And man, you are on fire. It's going to take one Eliab, like, man, you're getting to become a holy roller, man. You're like, you're getting radical, man. You don't even go party with us no more. You don't go hang out with us no more. Like, man, you're getting a little crazy with this Jesus stuff. Why you want to listen to that? There's only one way to pursue Jesus, and it is radical. Not arrogant, radical. There's only one way to pursue Jesus. That's surrendered. It's good to be called a holy roller. I'd take that as a positive thing. But it's amazing how many times people's voices mean a lot into our lives. They make us who we are. And the only voice that really matters is the voice of God. Opinions. Golly, we live in a world where, it just makes me want to say cuss words as a preacher, but I'm not going to today. Like, everybody's got an opinion, and if you don't agree with my opinion, I just don't like you. And it's amazing how people's opinion carry weight in our lives. I'm probably one of the big, I struggle with that a lot of times, especially people who's been successful in the things that I've been a part of. You know, there's a pastor that had incredible, his church is just exploding, and they do things like we do, like campuses. And I can remember when we launched Jasper, we was in there with a lot of other pastors, and somebody asked about like doing simulcast, like having me on screens out at Jasper. But our thought process was, we prayed through it for a long time, fasted, like we were going to put live pastors out there. That's what we want to do. Well, this pastor who was incredible, by the way, didn't mean anything bad. I love him today. I still love him today. Basically said, if you put a live pastor out there, it'll never work. And I'm like, like what? Like, by the way, we'd already made the plan. And so this guy is a lot more successful than I am in churches. And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my gosh. So his opinion was it'll never work. And so my thought process was immediately to shut down. Like, oh my gosh, it'll never work. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because his opinion held a lot of weight. Where I should have been listening, because we prayed, we fasted, we sought the Lord, and this is what we wanted to do. We felt like this is the best route to go. And so we went with putting pastors out there, and I forgot about the voice of God sharing with me, this is the direction I want you to go. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's working, and I'll be honest with you, those pastors are starting to start to change the way we're starting to do things a little bit. So anyway, I ain't telling you that to be arrogant. You don't got to clap because I get puffed up a little bit. But it's not good. Listen, the big picture is you can't let, if God speaks to you about something, you can't let other voices in your head, even if they have a lot of weight and do things different, take their opinion to heart. Be who God calls you to be. I got to move. We got to move quick, all right? So you put your view on what you value. Number two, put your view on what you value. Listen to what it says. Saul replied, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant, Saul, remember, I'm your servant, has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came out and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair." Like, that's crazy. He's crazy. There's no way I'm grabbing a bear by the hair, all right? You're crazy, David. You're crazy. It says, "This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the Lord, of the living God." It says, "The Lord," this is awesome, "the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David was in awe of his God. He was in awe because he had seen God move before. He was in awe and he understood who God was. I guess the question would be, are you? Are you so in awe of your God that when the giants come into your life, your thought process is the same way that God rescued me from the last trial and tribulation and giant that I had, he will rescue me from it this time too. And I ain't worried about nothing. I'm going in confidence, not in my own confidence, but I'm going in the confidence of who God says he is. Now, I'm not going in my confidence. I'm going in who God says he is and what he's done before. David responds to Saul's negativity. "You're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight. You're just a shepherd boy." So he responds to Saul's negativity by referring to the bear and the lions he had killed in the past. This lets us know that he protects what he values. David protected what he valued. Listen, the sheep were his responsibility and well-being. And when something came against them, he had the confidence through God to face them because his value in his sheep outweighed the fear of being harmed. You know, if somebody broke into my house and tried to take my kids are more valuable than anything else. I'm gonna fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna claw. We're gonna scratch. I'm gonna do everything I can because I value my kids. The question of the day is: what do you value the most? What do you value? Do you value God more than other things in your life? David valued God, and nothing shut him down. David set his view on Goliath, who is no different than the sheep in his eyes, because what he valued the most is being mocked. What did he value the most? God. He was mad because I value the one you're mocking, God. I value him. And so see, you ain't gonna mock him. I might die today, but I'm not going to die because my God's bigger than you. And we going down. We going to go down with a fight. It wasn't much of a fight. He hit him with one light little rock in the head and see ya, peace out, chopped his head off, carried it around forever. Listen. Why? Because he knew God was bigger. David didn't step out to fight the giant because he would gain a woman and free taxes that was of little value to him. He didn't go fight because, hey, I want one of your daughters, Saul. Thank you. I don't like paying taxes, so I'll go fight him. That's not why he went and fought him. He spent years in the field with no one to talk to but God, so he valued God. His relationship with God was personal. That's why he took Goliath's words personal. His relationship with God was personal. That's why he took Goliath's words as personal. Hey, what do you value? Do you value God? You know the enemy wants to do everything he can to destroy your view of God so that he can degrade your value of God. He wants you to not believe. He attacks the promises of God. The enemy does. He attacks the character of God. In other words, telling you that God's really not for you, that he's against you. And if you really start to buy into that kind of stuff, that God's promises aren't right for me, but they're right for other people, or God's really not for me, he's actually against me, what begins to happen is it begins to lower your value of who God is in your life. And it keeps you from walking in confidence in who God's called you to be. See, the enemy, he's wise. So he does everything he can to keep you from seeing who God really is. And if he could keep you from having confidence in the character of God, if he could keep you from having confidence in who God is, he's got you right where he wants you. How in the world are you going to walk? How are you going to walk by faith? Listen, when you have a right view of God, you'll value him. When you have a right view of God, you'll value him. And the only way to have a right view of God is to have true, complete faith in God and who he is. Do you have your view on God always? What's most important to you? Is it your 401k? Nothing wrong with that. Students, is it making great grades? I mean, I don't know. We could go a jillion different directions. There's nothing wrong with some of those things, but what is your value? What is your value? I think your value should be love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. That I live my day every single day to let Jesus know that I'm madly in love with him. Because my view is large with him, I will show my value with God to other people. Influence people. Because you're in love with God. We could go a jillion directions with that too. Just a question. What do you value the most? You could tell. You could really tell what you value the most. I mean, God says you could tell what you value the most by what you do with your checkbook. Now, I'm not preaching on money today. I'm just telling you. You can just go look and see what you value the most. You can tell what you value. God will speak to you. He'll tell you what you value the most. By the way, what I just said about you, I didn't say that. God said that. So I'm just telling you what God said. So you can go look through your checkbook or your statements and you can see what matters the most in your life. Because it'll tell you what I value the most. Anyway. So this opens the door for our final point. Have confidence in your conflict. I want you to hear me. Rick Warren said this. This is not an Andy Heiss. So if you want to tweet this, put Rick Warren's name behind it. Don't put Andy Heiss's name behind it. All right? Where there is no struggle, there is no faith. In other words, where there is no conflict, there is no faith. If you don't have some kind of conflict, it doesn't give you the opportunity to use faith. Where there is no struggle, there is, and that goes for everything in life. That goes for everything in the Christian life. If you're really walking with Jesus, you're struggling every single day with the character of God. If you're really walking with Jesus, you're struggling every single day with your flesh, with your thought process. If you're walking with God, there should be this struggle, which reveals that I'm doing everything I can to walk by faith. Why? Because I trust God. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 17, 48 through 50. It says, as the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground, dead. He killed the giant. Did David kill the giant? No, I'm saying God killed the giant. Used David as the vessel. It's a story We've all heard a million times, but there's something that sticks out and applies to what we're talking about today. It says that David ran quickly. Where did the crowd go? They ran quickly the other way. Where did David go? David, in his confidence with his conflict, ran to the giants. I'm coming after you with the name of Jesus in front of me. I'm coming after you because God is greater than you. I'm running to my conflict. I'm running to you. He didn't run from it. He ran to it in God's name. I wonder how many of us are living a life full of conflict because we're running away and not running to our giants. Listen, faith is either an issue or it's an action. If you don't have faith, it's an issue. David turned his faith into action. If you don't turn your faith into action, once again, you don't have God stories. You don't see miracles. You don't see God do great things. God works through faith. It is impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews chapter 11. He had confidence that God would come through for him and conquer his conflict. We're going to do something a little different today. Some of you are like, oh dear Lord Jesus. We're going to run towards our giants today. Before we do that, I want to be honest with you. The centerpiece of Christianity is faith. It's faith. It's amazing how much we know about faith, we read about faith, we talk about faith, but it's amazing how often in some areas of our life, or a lot of areas of our life, we don't really live out our faith. It's amazing how often, golly, we'll say, bless God, I believe the Bible. I believe the concordance, I believe the maps, and I believe it all, bless God. You do? What about the parts of the Bible that make you uncomfortable? Why don't we believe those parts? Like right now, it's kind of uncomfortable for some of you. Like, man, where's he going with this? Just have faith. It's amazing how many times we say we believe the Bible. I believe the Bible, but yet we don't practice what we believe, what we say we believe. We don't practice the Word. You know, if I was to stand up here and preach a sermon on miracles and healing, there are people in this room like, oh, dear Lord, that pastor's getting a little crazy now, man. He's getting crazy. He's talking about miracles and healing. Well, that's the whole New Testament. That's the whole Bible. Like, you think the devil really wants us to walk in believing that God still works miracles today? That he still healed? You think he really wants us? Why? Because every time God with Jesus or anybody else who was a follower of God did miracles, people believed. And it's amazing how people have taken miracles and faith and healings and stuff like that and went off the deep end with it, which makes the rest of us, when we try to talk about it, you don't think that's the devil involved with that either? But it's biblical. There's people that don't even believe it still exists today. Like, what? He's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same God. He still does miracles. So what enhances the miracles? Faith. Faith. He heals. You start talking about demons, spiritual warfare? Oh, man, now you're getting crazy now. You're getting crazy. Like, we read about it in the Scriptures. You think they're all gone now? Well, why do you think you go through hell so much? Because hell's chasing you. Wants to influence you. People don't believe in demon possession anymore. Now you're getting really crazy. Well, come hang out every now and then with us. We'll show you. Just kidding. I should have said that. I'm going to go backwards. I didn't say that. Y'all didn't hear that. See, y'all look at me like, man, he's crazy now. Hey, won't you preach some sermons? It's amazing how that intrigues us. Like, I want to hear some stories. Give me some stories. Are you serious? Just read the Bible. There's your stories. It's amazing. Like, people right now are like, man, where's he going? He's getting freaky, man. It's not crazy. It's Bible. We don't walk in what we say we believe. When was the last time you prayed, lay hands on somebody, took James chapter 5, verse 16, and asked God to heal them supernaturally? Who was the last, time you was in Walmart on aisle 9 and you saw Sarah Ann you ain't seen in 4 weeks and she just said, man, I just got a bad report from the doctor, and you just stopped immediately from getting your pork and beans and you said, let me lay hands on you and pray over you. God wants to heal you. See, I'm getting all my Pentecostal people fired up. Y'all gonna be dancing and getting banjos out and everything else. Keep your snakes to yourself. Why? Why? Why don't we believe? what it says. We say we do, but we don't walk in it. So here's what we're going to do different today. You remember David ran to the giant while the crowd retreated. He didn't stay with the crowd. He moved. So here's what we're going to do a little different today. I want to believe what the Word of God says, that God is still in the power of healing. And I really believe that there are people in this room right here. We're not going to drag this out. We're not going to make it long. I don't believe you have to say a 2-hour prayer for somebody to be healed. I think you just speak it and God can do it. But there are people in this room who need healing in their life, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. Here's what we're going to do. See, this is one of those places where I got to have confidence that somebody's going to do something. God's going to do something. He spoke to us right. We want to pray for you. It's not going to be dragged out. And you may never come like, man, they pray for people to be healed. Okay. We're never going back to that church. They're weirdos. We're weirdos? Well, Jesus is a weirdo because he prayed for them all the time. So we want to be like Jesus. So can I do something? Here's what I want to do. This is going to take courage for some of you. It's going to take faith. It's a giant in your life, and you're going to have to do it in front of the crowd. But what I want, if you've got something in your life that you need to be healed over, I'm going to ask you right now to just, nothing crazy, nothing wacky, we just want you to come and stand right here so we can pray over. Where you at? Come on. If you need to be healed, well, come on. The whole front row got up. Listen. So come on. Just come on. Nothing crazy. Come on. Come on. You need healed? You need to be healed? We're going to believe what the Word of God says. Come on. Come on. Now here's what I want. I need our staff, our trustees. I need our prayer team from Freedom Groups. I need our Connect Team leaders. I want you to come lay hands on some of the people. Find somebody to lay hands on them. We're going to live out James 5:16. Call the leaders of the church together. Come on. Come on. And then I want everybody else in the congregation to reach your hands towards these folks up here. Come on. Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray. Church, pray. Pray. Come on. Pray. We're going to believe that God wants to heal. Hey, you see all these people that's we should have been praying over them a long time ago. Come on. Father, you know each individual in this room. You know everything that's going on with them. God, it's so hard to walk in faith when the giant's staring you in the face, telling you it won't happen, it won't happen, it won't happen. But God, we believe that you're larger than the giants in our lives. And God, we ask in Jesus' name for physical healing. God, we pray for emotional healing. We pray you'd heal minds. We pray you'd heal people from the head to their toe. Heal hearts. Heal people from cancer in Jesus' name. We know you're bigger than that, God. God, we ask in Jesus' name that, God, you would heal people who are hurting. God, emotionally, God, mentally. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd meet them where they are. And God, may we be a church and do a better job of finding those who are physically hurt, mentally, emotionally, God, and be the church and believe by faith that you're going to touch them, God. God, I pray for those in this room who may have demonic influence in their life. In Jesus' name, that it be bound up and be removed from them. In Jesus' name, it has no right on them. Pray that the claws would be removed from their minds. In Jesus' name, that they would walk in who you've called them to be. God, we believe that you're still Jehovah Rapha. You were Jehovah Rapha before you ever created the world, and you're Jehovah Rapha today. And we believe that you are a healer, and God, we proclaim, God, not for Desperation Church, not for Andy Heiss, not for anybody else in this room, but for the sake of the name of Jesus, that you would be made famous, that God, you would heal, Father, today, people who need to be healed. God, we believe by faith, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you, Jesus, in your precious and holy name. And everybody say it. Amen. Let's believe. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Now go back to you. You go back. Go back in Jesus' name. We believe in. All right? It's a little different than some of the churches you've been in. We've been here 3 hours. Listen, I believe God heals. Now, if you're here today and you say another awkward thing, I just want to pray for you. I want to be the church. If you're here today, as everybody's going back to their chair, and you would say, Andy, I don't have a physical ailment. I don't have emotional, but I do have a giant in my life. I do have a giant in my life that, man, I need some prayer over. If that's you, would you just crowd, in front of the crowd, would you just stand? If you got a giant in your life, just stand up. Just come on. Come on, where you at? Just stand up. You got giants in your life. You got giants in your life. Stand up. Here's what I want. I want the rest of the church around. You may not know them, and this might be your first time to ever come to our church. You're like, man, this is weird. This is weird. This is weird. Just hang on, all right? It's weird because God wants to do something in your life too. I want you to find somebody around you that's standing. The rest of the church, let's lay hands on them and pray over them. Or just reach. You don't have to touch them. Just reach your hands out, all right? And we're just going to pray over them that God ministers to them and that God gives them a testimony. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, you know the giants in the lives of the people in this room. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would move in their lives, that you would touch them, that you would minister to them, that you would pour out your spirit on them, and that God, they would have a God story. They'd have a God story that is larger than them, that only you can do, God. You got them so far out on a limb, God, that they don't know where else to turn, but God, I pray they'd turn and look up. And that, God, they would find your eyes and they'd keep their eyes fixed on you. And that, God, you would do something greater than them, that you would do large things for your glory and for your honor. God, we're going to trust you. We believe in you. God, I thank you for the church. This is such a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ, is to take care of each other, pray for each other, walk by faith with each other. God, spur one another on to continue to walk in the faith that, God, you've called us to and the confidence you've called us to walk in, God. God, may we live for you, trust you, and believe in who you are, Father. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Jesus, in your name. And everybody say, amen. Come on, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now let's, with every head bowed, every eye closed, let's just call, you can have a seat just real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I do not know him. And I would love to have a relationship with God. I would love to have a relationship with God. Whether you're online watching right now, or whether you're in this room, Andy, I want a relationship with God. If that's you, with nobody looking around, what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do is put your hand up and put it right back down. Andy, I want a relationship with God. Just put your hand up and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. So if you're here, I'm going to count to three. Put your hand up, put it right back down. One, two, three. Put your hands up. Come on, all over the place. One, two, three, four, five. I can't see in the balcony. I see a little bitty hand up there. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. Those that raised your hand, maybe for the ones that didn't, and those watching online. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day. And the Bible says, and you will be saved. So basically, you believe, you confess Jesus as Lord. Lord, I don't want to be Lord of my life no longer. I want you to be Lord of my life. God, I believe that you died on the cross, paid for the penalty of my sin. You became the sacrifice for me through your blood. You took on the wrath of God. You were buried for 3 days. You rose from the grave on the third day. And today, you're alive and you are well with my best interest out. Thank you, Jesus. So if that's you, you say, Andy, how do I start a relationship with him? I think to start a relationship, you need to talk to him. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. So to confess Jesus as Lord means that we need to have a conversation with him. So why don't we start that way? You can repeat after me, or you can say your own prayer. It's really a heart thing. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for making me more like you. I give you all of me. Thank you that you're pursuing me. Thank you that you brought me to church today so I can meet you for the first time. Hey, if you're here today and you just prayed to receive Christ, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on. Fires me up. Hey. In my opinion, that's just as much a miracle as it is somebody getting healed from cancer. That's a miracle, and I love it. Hey, listen, for those that raise their hand, here's what I want to encourage you to do, okay? We got a number on our screen somewhere. It'll come up here in just a minute. I want you to text DC1 to the number you see right here on the screen. Text DC1 to the number you see on the screen. We're going to give you some next steps. We're going to give you some next steps and how to start your walk with God. All right? One of the things they're going to tell you is next week we're baptizing here. You need to be baptized. It's the first thing you need to do. Go in the old, come out the new, let the world know I'm a follower of Christ, and I publicly declare to the world that I'm a follower of Jesus. Great thing to do. You need to sign up. If you ain't signed up yet, if you need to be baptized, you need to go to the info bar today and sign up. We're baptizing next week. But I'd encourage you, do this right here. Fill it out, okay? If you don't have a phone that you can do that, then take the connection card in your chair. Fill it out. Fill it out, okay? And drop it in one of the buckets as you leave, okay? Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done today. Incredible day, Father. Thank you, Father, for the miracles. We believe right now in Jesus' name that you healed some people today, Father. If not all, God, you did something incredible. God, we believe in you. We trust you. And we thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Amen. Amen.